If you want to turn in your Bible and follow along with me, we're in Matthew chapter 5. And most of the scriptures, if not all, will be in your worship guide and they'll be up on the screen. Matthew chapter 5, we are going through what I think is my favorite sermon series of all time at Church Acadiana that we've ever done. We're actually going verse by verse through the Sermon on the Mount, which is found in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. And it's Jesus' most essential, his core teachings that scholars believe this was not a one-time event, but these were the core essential teachings that Jesus was repeating over and over and over again to his followers, to his disciples, throughout his 3 years of ministry. So this is so much meat right here, so much application. I don't have to work very hard as a preacher to try to make this relate to you. You can just read it for yourself and see what to do with it. It's very, very fun to read, but it's been very challenging for me and very encouraging to me. Now, in the first 12 verses, what's exciting is that you find the secret to happiness. You find the answer, how do I be happy? How do I find happiness? And what's interesting is what Jesus says from his own mouth is that happiness, y'all, and we have to be constantly reminded of this in our world today, is that happiness is not found in riches. You would not be happier if you had more money. Happiness is not found in worldly pleasures. Happiness is not found in fame. Happiness is not found in professional success and, you know, getting that promotion or that job. That if you're trying to find happiness, to be more happy, looking to those things, you're searching in the wrong direction. You're on the wrong road. Jesus said, here's the roadmap to happiness. It's right here, and it's found in having a right relationship with God. The first 12 verses are called the Beatitudes. And I should have warned you that I was going to ask you this again. What does the word beatitude mean, anybody? Somebody said it, but they said it real quiet. They were scared, huh? Blessed. It means blessed. It's the Latin word for blessed. Don't you all know Latin? I thought we all knew Latin. I don't know Latin. It's the Latin word for blessed. And the reason why is because 9 times in these 12 verses, Jesus starts out by saying blessed. Blessed simply means happy, but this blessing, this blessedness is a special kind of happiness that only comes from a right relationship with God. The only people that can have this kind of happiness, which is better than any kind of worldly, superficial, surface-level happiness, the only people that can have this are those who are in a right relationship with God. Okay? So he teaches us how to do this. He gives us 8 Beatitudes. Live like this. This is what it means to be an authentic Christ follower, these 8 traits. And this is how to find happiness. So let's pick up in verse 3. This is the last Beatitude. This morning, we're going to look at the last of the 8 Beatitudes. Let's start in verse 3 and just review. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. So if you want to be happy, then this is the way. And let me just review what these mean. We haven't done any review so far in this sermon series, but let me just do a little review. If you want to be happy, you got to be poor in spirit. And that means to admit your desperate dependence upon God. To be poor in spirit means that you realize you are spiritually poor. Poor in spirit, spiritually poor is an easy way to remember it. You realize that you are spiritually poor, that you are dependent upon God for salvation, but also for victory in daily life. It's living in a state of spiritual dependence. I need Jesus. I need the grace of God for salvation. I can't work my way there. And I need the grace of God just for daily life to be the man I need to be, the husband I need to be, the wife I need to be, the sibling that I need to be, the student I need to be. I need the grace of God. I need to be close to God on a daily basis. To be poor in spirit. Also, to be happy, you've got to mourn. Now, this is a weird one. Jesus says, happy are the sad. To mourn, he's talking about mourning and weeping over your sin. He's talking about if you want to be happy, you need to be somebody who takes sin seriously. Don't be casual about sin. Don't look at sin as a laughing matter, as something that's no big deal. To God, sin is a huge deal, even the smallest of sins. And if you want to be happy, he says, take sin very, very seriously so that when you sin, it should bring you to tears. If you want to be happy, he says, be meek, which means be gentle. It's another word for gentle. That's a good one for me. That means remain calm and kind when you're angry. That's what gentleness is. Remain calm and kind when you're angry. All right, and then if you want to be happy, hunger and thirst for righteousness. Righteousness is God's right way of living. So if you want to be happy, hunger and thirst for it. Hunger and thirst for the right way of living in your life, in every area of your life. To hunger and thirst means that you want it so bad that you want it more, as much as a man who's starving for food wants to eat. And you want it as much as a man who's dying of thirst wants water. That's how badly you want spiritual growth in your life. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. He says, blessed are the merciful. To be merciful is to help the needy, to be a person who helps the needy and relieves the pain of the suffering. Now, we all have needy people in our lives, people that we come into contact at work and at school and wherever, people who are in need and people who are suffering. And to be a merciful person is to help those people. Blessed are the pure in heart. To be pure in heart, to be pure is to be without sin. To be pure in heart is to be pure all the way to the core of who you are, not just in your actions, but in your attitudes and your thoughts. Not just when people are watching, but also in private, in your motives, all the way. Be pure without sin. Seek that kind of purity all the way to the core of who you are. And then number seven is be a peacemaker. If you want to be happy, be a peacemaker, which is somebody who works for right relationships, because right relationships take work. So blessed are the peacemakers. So that's how you can be happy. Now, then, and that's how you can be an authentic Christ follower. So ultimately, Jesus says, if you want to be happy, do these seven things, and you're going to be happy. But if you really try to live out the Beatitudes and cultivate these traits in your life, it's also going to lead to persecution. If you really try to be a devoted Christ follower, you're going to find ultimate happiness. But you're also going to run into a lot of resistance, a lot of opposition, a lot of hard times. It's called persecution. So this is how Jesus finishes up the Beatitudes in verse 10. He says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Billy Graham, the evangelist, he used to tell the story of a professing Christian, a new Christian, and he needed a job. So he told this mature Christian friend, he said, hey, I need a job, and so I'm thinking about applying at the lumber yard. And the mature Christian friend knew that the lumber yard had this reputation of being a very hostile place, a very profane place, just a bunch of sailors, probably like the oil field. And he said, oh, you do not want to go there. If they ever find out that you're a Christian, you're going to have a very, very hard time. He said, well, listen, I need a job. I've got to make a living. So he went and he got a job. And they didn't see each other for quite some time, maybe 6 months, a year later. They ran into each other, and the mature Christian said, hey, how are you doing? How's it going? Did you get that job? He said, yeah, I've been working there for quite some time now. Well, how's it going? Because I thought they were just going to give you such a hard time. He said, oh, no. Hadn't been any problem at all. They don't know that I'm a Christian. Well, if nobody knows that you're a Christian, then you're not going to have any problems. But if you're living as an authentic Christ follower, people are going to find out that you're a Christian, and you're going to run into persecution. If you want to avoid persecution, just don't tell anybody you're a Christian, and don't act like a Christian, and life will be easy. But if you live like a Christian, you're going to run into some resistance. And when you face persecution, here's the problem. You have a choice to make. You can either face that persecution in a godly way, stand firm in your faith, stay close to God, keep doing what is right, or you can shrink back in fear, you can cower away, you can turn to sin for comfort, you can compromise on your beliefs, you can get silent, you can get quiet, you can stop taking a stand for what God has called you to do and to be, and the persecution will go away. But Jesus says, listen, if you want to be happy, live like this. But it's also going to lead to persecution. But stand firm. Stand firm. Don't cower. Don't shrink away. Don't be afraid, because it's worth it. It's worth it. You'll be blessed, and it's worth it. And he tells us why it's worth it in the next few verses. And so Jesus here is teaching us how to stand firm in persecution. So if you want to stand firm in persecution, there are three perspectives you need to have. You need to look at it the right way. You need to look at persecution not as a bad thing, but as a good thing. You need to look at persecution not as something that you want to avoid, but as something that's a fact of life if you're going to be a devoted Christian. It's something you have to endure. And so look at three different perspectives here on persecution if you want to stand firm. Number one, when you stand firm in the face of persecution, you get to enjoy the kingdom of heaven. It's the first way that you need to look at persecution, is that when you stand firm, you get to enjoy the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says, again, he says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, let's define a few things. What is persecution? Persecution is when people cause you to suffer because of your belief in Christ. And so he says, blessed are the persecuted for, or blessed are those who are persecuted for what? For what? Blessed are those who are persecuted for or because of righteousness. It's interesting that he didn't say there, blessed are those who are persecuted because they're Christians. Listen, anybody and their mama can call themselves a Christian. That's not really what gets you persecuted, especially in America. Because you can call yourself a Christian, that's fine. But it's whenever you begin to live a righteous life as God defines it, as Jesus defines it. That's when you're going to begin to run into the opposition. That's whenever you're going to begin to make waves. He says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. When you really try to live out the Beatitudes and the rest of the New Testament and the rest of the Scriptures, and you live that out in your life at work and at home and with your friends, that's when you face persecution. And so Jesus is saying, though, he says, even though people are hurting you physically, people are persecuting you, people are attacking you, even though you're being persecuted, you can still be blessed because you have the kingdom of heaven. You have the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are the same thing. Those terms are used interchangeably in the Scriptures. Sometimes you'll see it as kingdom of heaven. Now, one of the things you need to know about Matthew, who wrote this gospel, this book, Matthew was writing, his particular audience of choice was to the Jews. And the Jews tried not to say God. They thought saying Yahweh, using God's name Yahweh, was a bad thing. God says, do not take my name in vain. And so they tried not to say God's name. And so that may be why scholars think that Matthew said the kingdom of heaven rather than the kingdom of God. A lot of times they would say heaven as an interchangeable term instead of saying the name of God. But it's the same thing. The kingdom of God, though, the kingdom of God is the rule of God. It's the reign of God. It's wherever God is in charge. And so it's the realm in which you live if you're a fully devoted Christ follower, in which Jesus is on the throne, you're living empowered by the Holy Spirit under His rule in your life. If Jesus is on the throne in your life and you're living under His authority, you are in right now the kingdom of God. Christ is on the throne in your life. You're in the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, even though you're being persecuted, you're blessed because you have the kingdom of God. You get to enjoy the kingdom of God. And that doesn't change when you get persecuted. You still have the kingdom of God, and so you're blessed. So what is the kingdom of God? What are all the benefits? If you live in the kingdom of God, if you're living under the rule and reign of God, if the Holy Spirit is ungrieved and unhindered in your life, then you get to enjoy God's Spirit, and you get to enjoy God's friendship, and you get to enjoy God's wisdom and God's comfort, and you get to enjoy the peace of God and the contentment of God. You get to enjoy power and victory over sin. You get to enjoy God's provision and God's blessing. You get to enjoy God's protection, God's strength, fellowship with other believers. You get to enjoy purpose in your life. All these things are yours when you stand firm in persecution. All these things are yours as long as you're enjoying the kingdom of God. Now listen, when you get saved, let's say you shrink back in persecution. You cower away. You don't stand strong. Well, you don't lose your salvation. Once you get saved and Jesus comes into your life and He's there to stay. But even though you're in the kingdom of God, you're a child of God, that doesn't mean you're enjoying the benefits of the kingdom of God. You may be in the kingdom of God, but you're living kind of like an outlaw, kind of like a rebel in the kingdom of God. And you're not enjoying all of the benefits. You're not enjoying close proximity to God and close fellowship with God and the peace and the contentment and the power over sin and the victory and the purpose that you should be experiencing as a Christian, because you're living as a rebel. But Jesus says, if you face persecution and you remain firm, you stand firm, you face it in a godly way, even though you're facing persecution, you're blessed because you're enjoying the kingdom of God. And I don't know about you, but that's all the motivation I need to stand firm. Whenever you face persecution, you have a choice. Bad things are happening to you as a result of your faith. So you have a choice. You can shrink away. You can cower away. You can say, you know what, enough of this. This is too hard. But if you do that, you lose God's presence. You lose the kingdom of God. Yes, you're still saved. But there's so much more to the Christian life than just being saved. You lose that close relationship and all the benefits of a close relationship with God. Or the other choice you have is you can face persecution, but stand firm. Stay godly. Turn to Christ for help. Keep doing what is right, and you get to enjoy and remain in the kingdom of God. Remain in close fellowship with God and have all the benefits of the kingdom of God. Here's a statement that I wanted to read to you. I wrote it down. Losing intimacy with God is not worth relief from persecution. Losing intimacy with God is not worth relief from persecution. That's the two choices you have. You can stand strong in persecution and keep that close intimacy with God, or you can find relief from persecution, but you lose close proximity to God. Another way to put it, it's better to face persecution and have the kingdom of God than to get relief from persecution but not have the kingdom of God. When you're facing a hard time at work or at home, and you're faced with a choice, do I keep doing the right thing, even though it means persecution? Or do I just compromise? Do I be silent? Do I stop doing what is right to find relief from persecution? Remember that if you keep doing what is right, you get a close relationship with God, and that's where ultimate happiness is found, not in relief from persecution. Relief from persecution will give you one thing. Relief from persecution, it will not give you the ultimate happiness that your heart longs for. Okay, number two. The second way to look at persecution is that when you stand firm in the face of persecution, God will reward you. When you're facing persecution, when you're facing opposition, when you're facing resistance, remember the promise that God will reward you for standing firm in the face of persecution. Jesus' words in verse 11, "Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad." Really? Rejoice and be glad when you're persecuted? Yeah, that's what Jesus says. Why? Because great is your reward in heaven. For many of us, the reason why we struggle to stand firm in the face of persecution is because we're so focused on this life. And we're so focused on what is seen instead of the heavenly rewards, the spiritual rewards that Jesus promises us if we'll stand firm. Now, there's two ways that this verse can be applied when Jesus says, "Great is your reward in heaven." First of all, and this is the way Christians throughout history have looked at this verse and have looked at persecution. Whenever you're facing persecution, you can rejoice, you can be glad, because you know that when you die, you're going to spend eternity in heaven, where there's no sickness, no sadness, no persecution, no sorrow, just complete joy in God's presence for eternity after eternity after eternity. And that compared to eternity, this life is so short. And so no matter what I have to face in this life, no matter how hard it gets, this life is short. And as soon as I die, I get to wake up in eternity in paradise with Jesus. And so when you're going through persecution, remember, it's only going to last a little while. Even if it lasts the rest of your life, it's only going to last a little while. And then you get to wake up and be in paradise with Jesus. So that's the way Christians have looked at that verse for years. Another way to look at that verse is that if you stand firm, then God will reward you. If you stand firm rather than cower in fear in persecution, rather than compromise, if you stand firm and respond in a godly way, then God is going to reward you. And Jesus, first of all, in this verse, he mentions heavenly rewards. Now, I've said this multiple times. This is an interesting concept that a lot of Christians don't realize. But in the Bible, what you can find is that we all get to heaven the same way, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We don't work our way into heaven. However, the degree of our rewards is dependent upon our deeds. We all get to heaven through Christ, not by our good deeds. But the degree of rewards that we get to heaven is dependent upon our deeds. Some of us are going to have great treasure. Some of us are going to have little treasure. Some of us say, "I don't care what kind of treasure I get. I just want to get there." Well, Jesus says that, and he comes back to this over and over again, and they do in the New Testament, the other writers of the New Testament, that The size of our reward is something that we should be highly concerned about, something that should really drive us and motivate us in this life. And Jesus says, if you want to increase the size of your heavenly riches and your heavenly treasure and your heavenly rewards, one of the ways you can do that is standing firm in persecution. And the Bible says every time that you face persecution and you respond in a godly way, you increase your heavenly rewards. But I believe that this is more than just heavenly riches. I believe that every time you stand firm in the face of persecution, every time somebody comes at you, somebody resists you, somebody persecutes you, somebody treats you with rudeness or mockery because of your faith, and you respond in a godly way, every single time, I believe God will reward you 100 times over right away. It will begin right away. Let me show you Matthew chapter 19, verse 29. Matthew 19, 29. This is a wonderful verse for you to highlight in your Bible. Jesus said, "And everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or property for my sake will receive 100 times as much in return and will inherit eternal life." Listen, I believe that the moment you respond in a godly way to persecution, God begins to reward you 100 times more. Now, and that 100 times is just figurative. Obviously, it's much greater than that. In other words, you can't outgive God. You can't outgive up God. Whatever you have to give up for your faith, God is going to return so much more to you, infinitely more to you. And those rewards begin right when you face persecution. Now, you may not have time to experience them all by the time you die and go to heaven, but right away, God will begin to reward you. Now, what do those rewards look like? Well, it may be financial prosperity, may not be. It's up to God. He knows what's best for you. It may be relational harmony. It may not be. It may be have to do with your health. It may have to do with your profession, with your job. Who knows what it has to do? It may have to do with your spiritual impact, the way you impact other people. Who knows? But I believe, and you need to have faith, that right whenever you stand firm, God is going to begin to reward you 100 times over. And that's a wonderful thing to remember when you face persecution. There's a crazy story in Acts chapter 5. We went verse by verse as a church through the book of Acts not too long ago. And this is one of the most crazy stories in the whole book of Acts. It's in Acts chapter 5. Peter and the apostles, they're just getting started with preaching the gospel. Christianity is just taking off. Jesus had just ascended into heaven. The Holy Spirit had just come down on the day of Pentecost. Christianity is just taking off. They're still in Jerusalem. Peter and the apostles are preaching with boldness, but they were told by the Jewish religious leaders, stop preaching and teaching about Jesus. But they kept preaching, and so they were arrested. And the authorities said, "We told you not to preach about Jesus. Are you hard of hearing? I mean, what's going on, guys? You not know who's in charge here? We said stop preaching about Jesus." And I love what Peter said. He said, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. We must obey God rather than any human authority." And then, right then and there, in front of all the Jewish leaders, Peter proclaimed the gospel right then and there to them. So the Jewish leaders decide to have Peter and the other apostles flogged. Now, remember, Jesus was flogged as part of his crucifixion before he went to the cross. Many people did not survive flogging, this intense, severe whipping that resulted in so much bleeding that many, many people died. They were flogged right then and there, and then they were warned one more time, stop preaching or you're going to get it again or worse. So look what the apostles did. Look how they responded in Acts 5, verses 41 through 42. It says, the apostles left the high council. That's like it's called the Sanhedrin. It's like the Jewish Supreme Court. They left the high council rejoicing that God had counted them worthy. Rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. Just got flogged. Now they're rejoicing that they got flogged. Yay! This was awesome! Verse 42. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they continue to teach and preach this message, Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ. So first of all, they continued doing exactly what they were told not to do. They continued, they stood firm, they continued doing what God had called them to do in spite of the resistance. But not only that, what's crazy is they rejoiced about being persecuted. Why? I believe it's because the apostles were remembering Jesus' teachings. He said, blessed are you. I'm going to reward you when you get persecuted and you stand firm. So they were thinking, they got persecuted. Woohoo, we're just racking up rewards. Bring it on. We're racking up the rewards both here in this life and in the life to come. You can't lose something for Jesus without getting something 100 times better. You can't lose something for Jesus without getting something 100 times better in return. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:14, but even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will what? Anybody reading with me? God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Number three, the third way to look at persecution in order to stand firm is that persecution is a sign that you are in the right, not that something is wrong. Persecution is a sign that you are in the right, not that something is wrong. Verse 11, blessed are you, what? Say it. What's the next word? Blessed are you when? Blessed are you when? Not if. Blessed are you when people insult you. Jesus took it for granted that you, if you're really following him, you're going to face persecution. You're going to face resistance. Blessed are you when people insult you. And then verse 12, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. All the Old Testament prophets, they were persecuted too. Jesus says, when you get persecuted, when you're facing hard times at work, at home, as a result of your faith, remember, you're in really good company. All the great spiritual giants of the past were persecuted just like you, but probably much worse. Now, the reason why that's such an important truth to remember is because whenever you take a strong stand for Jesus and you face some intense resistance and it gets you in trouble and you start experiencing some bad times, you're going to start having some doubts and you're going to start wondering, wow, maybe I was a little overzealous. I mean, I want us to take a stand for Jesus, but I didn't mean to make it cause such a big ruckus. I mean, wow, this is really hard. Maybe I came on too strong. Maybe I didn't really have to. Maybe God's not really blessing me because here's the way we think. We think that if we're right with God and if we're doing what is right in God's eyes, then that's supposed to mean earthly prosperity. We think instinctively that if we're spiritually successful, that's supposed to translate to worldly success. So when we take a stand for God and then we start to experience persecution, which leads to suffering and hardship, we start to wonder, maybe I didn't do what God wanted me to do. Maybe I was a little too zealous. Maybe I took too strong of a stand. Maybe God didn't want me to take a stand that time. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that if you are following Christ, you're going to face persecution, intense persecution. When you suffer for doing the will of God, it is not a sign that you misunderstood the will of God. It's a sign that you got it exactly right. And I'm saying this because I've experienced it, not just with persecution, but just with hard times. When I've gone through hard times, I've wondered, maybe I did something wrong. Maybe I got off God's will somewhere along the way, because surely if I'm doing God's will, everything's supposed to be great. Everybody's supposed to love me and say, yay, Andy, good job. At work, they're supposed to say, Andy, we're so glad that you stand for the right thing and don't let any of us cut corners. We just really appreciate that, Andy, making life hard on us all. Yeah, good job making us all so ethical. Everybody's just supposed to love you. Everything's supposed to go great. Andy, we're just going to make you the president of the company for taking such a good... No. When you take a strong stand for Jesus, they hate you. It's really annoying to everybody. And that's what Jesus is saying, is that you're in good company. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, he was sawed in half. Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, was imprisoned. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into a fiery furnace to be burned alive. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den to be eaten alive. John the Baptist was beheaded. Jesus was crucified. Matthew, who wrote this very gospel, Matthew was killed by the sword in Ethiopia. Mark died in Egypt after being dragged by horses through the streets until he was dead. Luke was hanged in Greece. Peter was crucified upside down. James, the brother of Jesus, was thrown from the top of the temple, but he survived So they beat him to death with a club. James, the son of Zebedee, was beheaded. Bartholomew was whipped to death. Andrew was crucified. Thomas was killed by a spear. Jude was killed with arrows. Matthias was stoned and then beheaded. Paul was tortured and then beheaded. Somewhere along the way, we thought that being a spiritual success means earthly prosperity. Everything's just supposed to go good for me. That's not biblical. In the Bible, the truly spiritually elite had a horrible time on this world, in this life. The world hated them. The world hated Jesus. So when you're facing persecution, it's a good sign that you're exactly where you're supposed to be. Don't think God has abandoned you. Don't think everything was supposed to turn out okay if you stood for what was right. No. If you stand for what is right, it may go really hard for you, really bad for you. But be encouraged. You're in good company. That's exactly what happened to Jesus, exactly what happened to all the spiritual giants that we read about in the Scriptures. 1 Peter 4:19, so if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, that's the goal, y'all, to suffer in a manner that pleases God, whether it's persecution kind of suffering or just going through hard times, just sickness even. Suffer in a way that pleases God. Keep on doing what is right and trust your lives to the God who created you, for He will never fail you. He will never fail you. Trust Him. He's going to take care of you. Keep doing what is right. In other words, when you're facing persecution, do what is right. Stand firm because it's always worth it. It's always worth it. For me, what does it mean to stand firm? You guys know that I work part-time at FedEx Ground. For me, it means being honest and ethical at work when everybody around me is pressuring me to cut corners. Even though I will be despised and annoy everybody, it means, for me, sharing the gospel with my neighbors and my coworkers and my friends, even though they think I'm a overzealous, obnoxious, religious zealot. It means, in the church, as a preacher, it means preaching against sin in particular. Not just standing up here and saying, y'all, sin is wrong. Turn from sin. No, the Bible wants me to be very clear about what God's will is. And so for me, it means preaching against sins like neglecting the tithe and abortion and homosexuality and sex outside of marriage, even if it means losing popularity, losing members, losing attenders. For me, it means leading the church in a direction that God is telling me to lead the church, even if I know it's going to make some people unhappy, just as Moses had to do so many times. So what does it mean for you? We're going to talk about that in home group this week. What does that mean for you to stand firm in the face of persecution? Listen, we live in a free country, y'all, where supposedly you can be a Christian and it's okay, but that doesn't mean that you can be a Christian without facing persecution. And the more serious that you'll get about your faith, the more you'll find enemies. The more you'll find that people will despise you and hate you. Not necessarily because you say, I'm a Christian, but because you stand for what Christ stands for. And I want to encourage you, stand firm. It's always worth it. You're in good company. God is going to reward you. And as long as you stand firm, you get to continue to live in close proximity to God, in a close relationship with Him. And the Bible says, in your presence is fullness of joy. The best place on earth to be is close to God. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word and the encouragement therein, Lord. And I pray, God, that you would help us, Lord, to stand firm, God, in a world that is so hostile to righteous living. Lord, help us to stand firm, not in an obnoxious way, not in an arrogant way, in a loving, in a humble way, Lord, but help us to not back down from what you've called us to do and who you've called us to be. Help us to remember these words, that whenever we first face persecution, these words will come to mind, Lord Jesus. Lord, encourage us in our faith. Help us to encourage each other. Help everybody in this room to know exactly how you want them to apply these words. Bring us back next week, Lord, as we continue to study your word and grow together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, y'all. Thanks for coming today. Glad to have y'all. And don't forget to turn in your connection cards as you leave in the offering plate. And hope to see y'all next week. God bless you.